This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Before we get to what Pitino said after St. John's loss, especially around benching R.J. Lewis, you know me, Tommy knows I do this, Tiki is learning. I love to count pitchers' days and think about pitching matchups that are very appealing or interesting.
Okay.
Opening day at Citi Field, so the home opener, not the season opener on Thursday.
You're such a nerd.
I'm a loser.
We'll feature Tyler McGill for the Mets. But are you ready for who is online to start for the Blue Jays?
Who?
For the home opener at Citi Field?
Max Scherzer.
Maxwell Jacob Friedman Scherzer.
Max Scherzer!
Oh, gosh.
That's fun!
What are you going to do, boo him?
Yes!
Yes.
Why? He only quit on you and then lied that Cohen was tanking the next season. Why are you mad at him?
I'm mad
he
at him.
He made you better.
I'm mad
he
at him.
He left you and you created a void that allowed you to fill with greatness.
My madness has nothing to do with what you just laid out. It has everything to do with sucking in a big spot. That's it. Simple as that.
I see that.
Sucked in a big spot.
I can see that.
Comes down to that. Now, speaking of sucking in a big spot, I feel terrible. St. John's against Arkansas was not pretty. It wasn't just R.J. Lewis. A lot of guys struggled. I mean, Kaderi fouled out after 16 minutes of playing.
Dude, it was both teams were terrible.
No, both teams were terrible. St. John's was worse. Aaron Scott couldn't make a shot. But R.J. Lewis was not very good. And so it was interesting. I mentioned this on Friday. I was at a 4-year-old or 5-year-old, technically, birthday party during the game. Which is why we talked about how many people are going to be able to see the game. It's a Saturday afternoon, blah, blah, blah. Remember when I said that, Sean?
Yes, I'm still laughing that you called the 5-year-old technically 5 years old.
Well, because it's 4 into 5.
It's a 5-year-old birthday.
I'm being selfish because my son Spence is 4, so okay. I'm thinking 4-year-old, but it's really she was turning 5. So I'm at this beautiful house for this party. It's a at-house party.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I go downstairs where what do they call when they do magic? The magician. The clown, dressed up as a princess. Elsa was the princess.
Elsa was there?
Elsa was there,
This is a girl's party.
Yeah, well, the birthday girl was a girl, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So at this age, they still go to the other sex parties.
They do. Well, I hear Spence is very popular with the girls.
Nice.
So I'm at this
party. Does he want to build a snowman?
I'm at the party, having a good time. Like, all right, this is interesting. And we go downstairs, and on this beautiful big screen is the St. John's game. So now the kids are in a circle doing the magic, and I got the game on right in front of me.
That's a great job by those parents, yeah. Right off the bat.
Amazing
great job. Now, if it was a Met game, you would have been sweating and freaking out. I got to score when I get home. I'm DVRing.
I would have been annoyed if it was a Met game, or I have to admit, no offense to St. John's fans, a game I really cared about. Because you couldn't be locked in.
Were the other dads there with you?
There were a few dads that were into it. Yeah, there was audible reactions to each shot. In fact, the magician got into it too.
Each
he kept turning
shot.
Around. Each bad shot, yes.
So the magician made all the St. John's baskets disappear.
If only he could have. So I'm watching the St. John's game, and it's tough because you don't have any audio. But I did notice, where's R.J. Lewis? Mm. And that, of course, became kind of the big story at the end of this game, that R.J. was 3-for-18. He did make the 2 free throws before Pitino pulled him, and I thought that was kind of odd, because sometimes just making a couple of free throws can relax you. So he pulls him. Obviously, St. John's at the time were down by 2, so they were in the game. Arkansas ends up pulling away, and the benching of R.J. Lewis didn't lead to anything good, and that became kind of the story after the game. So immediately, before I formulate any opinion on this, I needed to hear from Rick Pitino himself. So I want to take you into the press conference room, and let's analyze what Rick said on why he decided to bench the Big East Player of the Year, R.J. Lewis. So let's start it off with a random reporter asking him the direct question.
You had R.J. on the bench, you know, for pretty long stretch at the end. Was that just because he just wasn't making them, or was there something more to it?
Played 30 minutes. It's a long time.
So he was tired?
No, played 30 minutes and I went with other people. You already know the answers, Roger. You're asking leading questions. You already know it. So don't ask leading questions. You already know why he didn't play.
No, that's why we're asking, Coach. We don't know the answer. We're asking you why you sat him, and you started by saying he played 30 minutes, and whoever that reporter is, kudos. The absolute follow-up is, oh, okay, he was tired. Because you brought up the minutes, we didn't.
Right.
So, number one, and there's a few more answers we'll get to, he's like mad at leading I don't know why he sat. Like, that's why we're asking the questions.
Did you watch him?
I watched him. He sucked.
Okay, then. So you didn't know why.
Oh, you're playing the Pitino game, but you got to tell me why. Was it shot selection? Look, was it defense?
Did you guys see what I just did?
Yes.
I got him to say exactly why R.J. Lewis sat.
Yep.
And you did it like that. You'd be a terrible reporter in the scrum.
I would be. All right, let's hear a follow-up question then, because we're going to try some more to kind of get the coach to say, why did you sit R.J. Lewis?
Was there one play with R.J. that made you
good
sit
question
in the last 5 minutes?
Yeah.
You know he was 3-for-17. You know he was 0-for-3. So you're answering your own. I'm not going to knock one of my players.
Well, first of all, Rick, you just did.
Mm-hmm.
You cited his stats. What do you mean? You're I'm right. not going to knock my own player. He was 3-for-17. He was 0-for-3. He sucked. Like, so you did it. But what the reporter is looking for, what I'm looking for just as a casual fan, is why? Because there are St. John's fans out there, and I respect the hell out of them because they've been watching all season long, who would argue that R.J. Lewis didn't get benched for 3-for-17.
Mm.
He got benched for shot selection. He got benched for
body
defense.
Body language.
Kind of trying to be a hero. There's like a lot of reasons you can come up with besides 3-for-17. You don't literally just sit a guy because of 3-for-17. You could. You have that option. But I think that where he made a mistake, in my humble opinion, is that most people's opinion, like my basketball opinion would be, wow, you don't sit a guy just because he's in a shooting slump. Like, let him find his way through it. Maybe those 2 free throws will get him going. But that's not the reason he sat him.
Yeah.
So tell us the reason. If it's shot selection or playing selfishly or not passing enough or body language, that's different than 3-for-17. And I still don't have an answer because he just cited 3-for-17.
Yeah, I know. Well, he told you, basically. And he's telling you without telling you. Telling you that he was not playing within the structure that he wants him to play in. That's basically what it comes down to.
But he didn't say any of that.
I know, but that's what he doesn't want to say it.
I want to play this.
He doesn't want R.J. Lewis to transfer.
Well, I got to play this last part for you. Because either Rick Pitino really hates R.J. Lewis or we're being way too sensitive. So that's how I'll set it up. Here's the question, and listen very carefully to Rick Pitino's answer to the question he was asked.
With RJ, Rick, he said he felt like he wasn't a good leader today. What did you think of in terms of that?
I'm just very appreciative for Aaron Scott. Like, he had a bad game, but he gave me his heart and soul with a broken finger. I'm very appreciative of Kadari Richmond. He was a true pleasure to coach. He had a bad game tonight defensively, and it took him out of the game. But he was pure joy to coach. I'm very, very appreciative of Davon Smith, who's been hurt and gave me everything he had. So I'm very appreciative. I'm very thankful to the guys that gave me every single thing they had. I hate to see them go out this way. We thought we were championship-driven in our minds, but I've been disappointed before with this. You hate to see us play like that. I don't mind going out with a loss. I just hate to see us play that way offensively. And we got to live with it. You put a lot of time and effort. The coaches did. And it's just a bitter pill to swallow with that type of performance. But we'll give the credit to Arkansas, and I'll be very, very thankful to those three guys for giving me everything they had. And we move on.
So, to be clear, he's asked about R.J. Lewis, who's very tough on himself as a leader. The three guys he cited all are done with eligibility, so they are leaving. So
yes.
I think to specifically thank them, because I don't want that to be misconstrued, was, hey, I appreciate what those guys did. This is the last time I'm going to coach them. But he was asked about R.J. Lewis being tough on himself, and he totally blew it off.
I think R.J. Lewis' senior season will be going to be played elsewhere.
Really?
Absolutely.
So you took that out of that answer?
He didn't even address him. It's like
he didn't
Bill Parcells not wanting to say Keyshawn Johnson's name. You know what I mean? I mean, Terrell Owens' name, right? It's like that player. He didn't even talk about him. And so I think he's very disappointed in R.J. Lewis. And I don't know what that means going forward, but we know what happened last year when Rick Pitino started talking trash about the guys on his team. A lot of them were here. They got asked to leave.
And what's funny is, like, he didn't talk trash about him. He just didn't want to answer that question. And that's an easy question to answer and say, no, listen, I appreciate his leadership. He's got to realize.
Unless he would have been lying.
Yeah. So you read something out of, and again, I want to make it clear, the three people he thanked specifically are guys that aren't going to be here next year because of eligibility. So I understand that to go out of your way, Aaron Scott did not play a great game and say, hey, I appreciate what he did. He's playing with a broken whatever. Like, that's awesome, but I found it odd that he's asked about R.J. Lewis. And he's like, I'm not even going to comment on that.
Answer the question you want, not the one you're asked. That's what that came down to.
He didn't want to crush him publicly. Not for the shooting, but that he, this is my opinion, played scared. And he doesn't want to say that about a player because either he doesn't want to crush his players.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Because for recruits that want to come in, man, this guy, I mean, he publicly embarrassed him in the game, but he didn't want to publicly embarrass him afterwards. Or he might think Lewis might come back, so let me not say it. So I'll say he was 3-for-17 because anybody can have a bad game, that's fine. But when you go after a player saying the moment was too big for him, you can't say anything worse about a player. But it was. I mean, he looked like he was did not play basketball for the entire game.
I don't think he played scared. I think he was just trying to be like a superhero. That's probably the way I was.
Well, on that one play where he went into, like, you know, three defenders.
Yeah,
that one,
the air ball on the, you know, 7-footer.
Right.
I mean, it was just, it was more trying to do too much.
Right, but he had a,
I
understand the competition was different, but he had, what, 5 threes against Omaha, something like that, and then he couldn't hit a shot the next day.
He wasn't the only one.
I understand that.
I mean, nobody could hit a shot. Aaron Scott was 1-for-10 from the field.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I would say is, like, you're benching your best player with 5 minutes left. It's not like you had other great shooters out there. Wouldn't you rather just go down with him than...
Well, I think the challenge...
This is a teaching lesson.
Here's the challenge. There are other games where he's been as bad. R.J. Lewis shot 4-for-18 against Marquette, shot 4-for-18 against UConn. This is back in March and then going back into February. But they won those games, right? Because they were deep... Everybody else picked up the slack.
Right.
And so if you're going to defend R.J. Lewis, it's like, okay, he's done this before. He's taken a bunch of shots and missed a bunch of them, but the team has backed him up. And against a better opponent, obviously, because it's in the NCAA tournament and not the Big East, Arkansas just took advantage of it. Now, Arkansas didn't play great, but St. John's played worse.
No, they did. Let's get to some of your calls. Joe's in Massapequa. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how's it going, guys? First time, long time. Good to hear from you guys. So I'm actually an alma mater of Rick Pitino's old high school, St. Dominic's, and seeing his repertoire of a coach and knowing how his background is, he's never wanted to, you know, publicly, you know, diss his players and put them out there. But I will say this of knowing how his style is. R.J. Lewis, he's a junior going to his senior year, and he's a kid who wears his heart on his sleeve, very emotional. So, you know, Tiki, as a former player, knowing guys that are emotional like that,
right,
it's kind of hard to actually keep them in the game long term. You know, 30 minutes of a 40-minute college.
Oh, I didn't even think about it like that, Joe. But you're right.
Yeah.
Like if he's emotional, meaning this is a big stage for R.J. Lewis, and he's underperforming when everybody's watching.
Yeah,
like you get emotional about it. You just get distracted by your body. And again, you could see it in his body language.
Well, you also saw, and this is where I was kind of surprised, and I admit, I'm watching this at a 5-year-old birthday party. Zuby kind of grabbed them and shook them a little bit in a loving way, like, ah, come on, come on. If I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, that was before the 2 free throws. He then makes the free throws, and then he got pulled.
Yeah.
So we never actually got to see R.J. Lewis after that moment of... And again, tell me if I'm wrong, if my timing is off on this, because I really remember that Zuby was doing that either during the free throws or right before the free throws, which he made and then got pulled out of the game.
Yeah.
So we never got to see if even Zuby kind of shaking him and trying to get him going.
Trying to pump him
was
up.
Was going to work? Because he didn't play after that.
Well, that's the coach's decision. Like, he's got to make it. He's got to make an in real-time decision. It's who's giving me the best chance to win.
Right.
And he didn't think it was R.J.
And the
Lewis.
Kid he went to. See, I was paying way too much attention to this game at a birthday party. The kid from the other country, I forget what country, Sweden, Finland, Germany, whatever his name was. Look it up. Come on, Google it. You'll get his name. He comes into the game, and first time ball's in his hands is baseline drive, and he jammed it home. Pulled him back within two. Guys, remember that?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think his name was like Rend, or Fend, or Mend, or Pend. Or Lend.
Pray.
Or Shet. Pray. You nailed it.
Ruben Pray.
Ruben Pray.
Portugal, by the way.
Look at me.
Nice. You were nowhere near correct, except for the fact that he plays basketball in St. John's. That part you got right.
I got the last name being short correct, like very quick.
Yep.
And it was another country.
How far is Sweden from Portugal? Were you even within driving distance? Probably not, right?
If I had to guess, I would say Sweden and Portugal are definitely within 1,000 miles of each other.
Which would be, what, a 4-hour drive?
1,000 miles is not a 4-hour
3-hour flight? What are we looking at here? If he took a Zeppelin.
I have the answer. Driving.
Thank you.
It's by probably 11 hours?
It would take you 37 hours by
car. Wow.
By the way, and we
2,000 miles.
We could have our statisticians pull this up if you need it. Have we ever seen in the history of the NCAA tournament the best, arguably best player on the team be benched within the last five minutes of a close game?
Oh,
has that
sure.
ever happened?
I'm sure.
I would be stunned.
I would be stunned, too.
Season on the line, your best player's benched in the final 5 minutes of a tournament game?
If that guy's not playing defense at all, sure. I'm sure you could find that. Come on.
Never? It's a great time to send a lesson with your season ending.
That's what I mean.
I don't think it was that. I think he was trying to put someone who didn't have his head, you know where it is.
And think about it. My guy from Portugal, what did he do? He comes into the
Ruben
game
Prey.
And immediately baseline drive for a dunk. See?
Right.
I'm all over this. Let's go to Dennis in Garden City. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, guys. So don't take this the wrong way, but I think part of it, you know, it gets frustrating for me, someone who was there in the 80s when they were number one in the country, sat first row every game, and have been sitting second row at the Garden at Conasec Arena forever. And I've given up my tickets a couple of times over the years because I've been frustrated, but I've been there, you know, for all of the Patino games. And it's frustrating because you guys are more of a casual fan of St. John.
100%, no doubt.
So the guys like me, who I was in Providence, second row, and we saw what was going on. Now, I think there was a lot of pressure he put on himself in that game, Lewis, because there was a lot of talk of him possibly going pro. And they were going to explore that opportunity. So he knows all eyes are on him. Scouts are at that game. And he's trying to drive it. And they were a big team and they were athletic. And they were taking his game away. And when they got within two twice at the end of the game, on one of those occasions, he tried to take it in and took it in a ridiculous shot. I mean, it was a horrible shot.
Yep.
No way he should have taken it. And that's when Zuby actually shaked him, not before the free throws. And then they had another shot to get it within two, and then Zuby, who had a great game.
When in the game was the shake then? It was a few minutes
when he missed that crazy shot when they were within two. So they were going down to tie it,
right.
And he took a while, and I think Zuby was like, kind of calm down.
By the way, is great leadership. I mean, that's what you want to see.
Right.
Like, relax, take a deep breath, be you. Don't try to be a superhero. Yeah, I remember it happening in the second half when they cut the deficit to two. Look, other thing.
Meanwhile, Ejiofor was great.
He was great. I mean, no doubt. He was the best player on the floor for St. John's. The other thing that, you know, I've always thought for many, many years just watching the Big East, and it certainly was the case on Saturday. You watch Big East basketball, they don't call a lot. They'll let you play.
Mm-hmm.
They'll let it be rugged. They were not letting them play on Saturday. And not only did St. John's suffer, we all suffered because it was awful to watch.
27 free throws. Arkansas took.
Way too many.
27. St. John's took 31.
And here's the thing. In the regular season, if this was a regular traditional Big East game, cut that number in half.
Yeah.
Like, they were calling an awful lot. We'll get back to your phone calls coming up, 888-808-1019. And a very underrated moment for the weekend. A reminder that Walt Clyde Frazier is the absolute best at what he does. 888-808-1019 is the toll-free number. How we doing on this fine Monday in New York City? I don't know what these guys are going to do. Tiki, Sean, Lugie can do whatever the hell they want. But I got to defend my teammate, Brandon Tierney. Because BT has been under attack for ridiculous reasons in relations to St. John's.
Why?
Like somehow he did something wrong. So earlier today, a caller calls in and starts a fight with Brandon Tierney because BT innocently, and I heard it live, so I know he did nothing wrong, or St. John's did nothing wrong. He mentioned that after they won the game against Omaha, when he got back to the hotel, he had a drink, a celebratory drink with some of the St. John's fans. And I don't know if there was someone on the coaching staff. Maybe, maybe not. Doesn't even matter. But there were no players involved. And considering St. John's won their first game in 25 years,
right.
I got to be honest, I would have done more than a celebratory drink. I've been naked in the lobby. So I thought Brandon showed a lot of restraint. And for some reason, that's caused some backlash with St. John's fans. Take a listen.
Frank is in Bayside. What's up, Frank?
Oh, miserable today, Sal. I am miserable. I'm a longtime Johnny's fan, season ticket holder. It's pouring rain out. All I can think about is all the missed threes and the free throws and the missed layups. And then I find out my buddy Dave, he texted me earlier, and he said, did you hear this guy, BT, was out drinking with the team after the Omaha win. And I'm like, what? So, like, BT, like, who do you think you are? Like, going out and drinking with the team.
Hey, here's an idea. How about this? Why don't you come to my face?
No.
Why don't you come and ask me? Why don't you come and ask me? How about that?
I will. I will turn this car around and where are you?
Come and ask me.
Where are you? Where are you, bro?
All right, Sal, get rid of this guy. Okay. So listen to me.
Thank you for the call, Frank.
Okay. So.
All right. Listen. He did nothing wrong. Who the hell is this Frank guy bitching at my teammate, Brad? Like, he had a celebratory drink after they won a tournament game for the first time in 25 years, and this guy's turning on him? Shut your mouth.
I mean,
I'm not challenging you to a fight because you'd kick my ass.
It's not
so
like
I'm
he
out.
Was drinking with the guy, the team. He's drinking with whoever was around. Right?
That's right.
Sounds like Frank was a little jealous that BT had the opportunity to
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Who was BT drinking with? Do we know?
I heard it live. It was like, I don't know if it was fans or maybe someone from the coaching staff real quick. Like, it was not a big deal.
Here's where Frank gets points, though. Whenever you say the words, I will turn this car around, you mean business.
Sounds like my wife.
Now, right. So we're all on BT's side on this one, right? This is easy.
1,000%.
Okay, good.
Like, who cares? He went to have a drink.
Right. He's like, my buddy Dave saw it. Yeah, okay. Who's your buddy Dave? I mean, right. This is like BT's, telephone tele-wrestler.
I don't care if it's a February game over Georgetown. BT's entitled to do that. That's a good time.
Of course.
Right. And again, it's not like it's the players were hanging out.
And what else are you doing in Providence?
That's what he made it sound like.
Yeah. It wasn't the players. He never said the players. So, 0-for-1, all right? But here's the second thing that my guy's taking crap for. Mm-hmm. And this one may be more conflicted. I am not big on the whole touch the money thing. I'm not big on the jinxing thing. These guys on the other side blamed me for Sean Manaea not starting on opening day because I said to Mendy, hey, when are you going to announce Sean Manaea? So BT tweeted over the weekend, if the Johnnies advance, it's on. And he was gauging interest on like a tour, like he does with the Jets. Round trip, go to San Francisco, 3 nights in a nice hotel, Alcatraz tour, which is pretty badass, 2 pregame parties, like a whole package he was working on. Are you guys in? Now, he's getting crushed now as a touch the money spot. I got to defend. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm 2-for-2. It's like I work for the man. What is he supposed to do?
That is kind of touching the money.
Really?
Yes.
Look at you turning on him.
I mean,
that's a touch the money spot?
You haven't even played yet. You have plenty of time to organize that.
Well, not really.
Yes, you do.
If they win Saturday, you got to plan the trip like immediately.
Yes. And I'm sure that his buddy, my buddy too, Mike Bartucci,
mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that's who he was doing it with.
I don't know anything other than this.
So they would figure it out in a snap of a finger. And by Tuesday, it'd all be set.
So you say, touch the money spot by BT.
Yes. You're not guaranteed to go to San Fran.
All right. So, Loogie?
Here's the question I would ask Evan.
Go ahead.
Game 5, 2015. Did Evan Roberts touch the money when he turned to his wife and said, honey, I just looked at Spirit Airlines. We can get a flight to Kansas City. It'll cost us $45. We just have to bring our own seat.
So $7 for peanuts.
I've never heard a story more twisted and wrong than the way you laid that
out. Well, feel free to fill in the blanks. That's how I remember it.
Before the Met Royal series started, which I think makes me feel better on jinxes, me and my wife booked, and my dad and my sister too, was actually going to be a large Robert contingent, plane tickets one way. To Kansas City for game 6.
Right.
So that was done before the series started. So I am exonerated of touch the money because you could argue the other way. You know, the Mets may have been up or down, whatever.
And you didn't publicly tweet anything about this, right?
I don't.
To your memory?
I
get Dan on it, your buddy. You're lacking.
I don't know. If you go back to October of 15, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I can't answer that. The touch the money spot was my wife. And it's actually a bone of contention in our marriage.
Hold on.
Because
what do you mean?
I'll walk you through it, Tate. The Mets are down 3-1. They have a lead against the Royals in game 5. And my wife looks at me and says, well, I guess we're going to Kansas City.
Oh, I see. I thought you said that.
I did. That's why Loogie's story couldn't have been more wrong.
Right.
It's like that.
He had me confused for a second.
It's like that guy Frank ripping BT for doing nothing wrong.
Well,
like
my
buddy mixed up the story.
My buddy Dave told me that he saw you.
So my wife has been accused of being in a touch the money spot. I told the story to David, right? He agreed.
Yes, but she doesn't care.
Exactly.
She cares.
She doesn't know she's touching the money, therefore
care.
She didn't touch it.
Yeah, if you don't understand what you're doing, it doesn't matter.
Okay, so you guys are right about that. She didn't know what she was doing. so maybe she's exonerated. But
she
definitely
is exonerated.
Brandon's in a tricky spot because it's not about him going to San Francisco. It's about people are joining him in San Francisco. So you're suggesting that that tweet cannot go out. There could be no publicizing of it until the Johnnies win in advance?
That's a joke.
You're with me, right?
There's no such thing as touching the money.
Thank you.
There's no such thing as jinxes. And you know what? I'm so sick of this with fandom. I know that's inherent with us, with superstitions.
By the way, at the bottom line, I agree with you because there's... I played. There's nothing any of you all did had anything to do with anything I did.
It bothers me so much. And you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because right. If BT puts that out afterwards, be like, oh, why didn't you do that ahead of time? You don't believe in the Johnnies? You didn't do it? It's either you believe too much and you're a jinx, or you don't believe enough and what's wrong with you as a fan, and there's no in between, and I hate that part of sports.
But hold on a second. So he essentially gave an opinion with that tweet. Is that?
No, he didn't.
Well, his opinion
is...
That they're moving on to the Sweet 16 or their Sweet 16 team.
No, see, you
which
are,
is fine.
I don't like this. You did it to me, now you're doing it to him.
Well, can I finish first?
No, I want to read the tweet so the audience knows.
Okay.
If the Johnnies advance, if the right. Johnnies, yeah. if.
It's fine.
If. Okay. He didn't say when. Mm. He didn't say Tuesday.
Right.
If the Johnnies advance.
I'm not crushing him at all.
The Johnnies.
Yes.
Yeah. I am only what Sean just said there, I have a big problem with, because we wouldn't have an industry if people didn't react to stuff we said when we are wrong. Now, he didn't give an opinion.
He wasn't wrong. He said, you can, if the Johnnies
but people could twist stuff like that all the time.
Are
you know
you
how this business
are you
works.
Are choosing to twist it or not?
I no, I am not do. Twisting it. I'm just saying what Sean said, how he hates people that do that, yeah, that we wouldn't have a business.
Because I want this. I want every single person that criticized Brandon Tierney for tweeting that out to send in your brackets and show me if you had St. John's advancing past Saturday. Because if you did, then you all touched the
wait
money.
Wait a second, real quick. Go outside. I think Sal's here. Bring him in.
All right.
Because I don't know if they address this. And Sal will break the tie. He knows what he's doing.
There's no tie to break.
Yes, it is. Because you and Tiki are on the same side.
Right. Of which
we're,
one
we're
are we on?
We're on the touch the money
you're
side.
You're on the touch the money side.
He said if or when?
If.
He said if!
You sure?
If. The Johnnies advance. Shut up. Sal Licata joins us right now.
Yes.
Sal, very important. You probably don't know what we're talking about.
You don't need your headphones because we're not listening.
Another round of Jeopardy here? Or what?
So, first of all, we all defended BT with the stupid, drinking thing because that's ridiculous.
Oh, God.
But the other thing he's taking crap for, and I'm on his side.
Bar will sit down. That's my philosophy.
Right. BT tweeted over the weekend, if the Johnnies advance, it's on, and he put information out on a trip.
Right, the San Fran trip, yes.
He is getting accused, much like you have before.
Yes.
He touched the money. He jinxed them. I think it's ridiculous. Sean thinks it's ridiculous. These two clowns say, nah, it's kind of a touch the money spot. Sal, as his partner, as someone who's been accused of this before.
Yes.
Was this a touch the money mistake by Brandon Tierney?
I don't know if this is going to give you the clear answer that you're looking for. I don't think BT jinxed St. John's. Mm. However... I would have advised against a tweet like that. And I know
touching
BT.
Touching the money.
He was saying with me last week, Sweet 16, he basically had one foot in San Francisco. So this wasn't just him. Like he really did believe that the Johnnies were going to win and move on. I mean, he said as much. So I don't think it was a jinx spot, though.
All right. What was that answer? I'm not sure.
We are hopelessly deadlocked.
Hey, before you go, can you tell us that the NL East is over?
No, I'm not doing that ever again. Leave me alone.
I'm joking.
Trying to reverse jinx. The pitching staff this year stinks. Yeah. We'll see how that works.
Let's go with
Carlos
that.
Mendoza.
Thank you, Sal. We appreciate it. Yeah, I think that not touch the money spot. Mm. That's my opinion. It's the final verdict on this. Right. Thank you, Sal. We appreciate it. I just saw him walking around. I was like, perfect. He's the perfect guy to break the tie.
Ultimately, like a lot of people, I don't care.
Let's get back to your phone calls. 888-808-1019. Frankie's in Bethpage. What's up, Frankie?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up,
the
dude?
Way St. John's lost on Saturday was like the worst way. All your guys that have been fantastic the whole season had an awful game except for Ejiofor.
Right.
But it's just the way they lost in controversy. In my opinion, listen, I love Rick Pitino. I think he's one of the best coaches to ever do it. RJ Lewis is your best player. He was Big East Player of the Year. You need to live and die with your best player. He should have been on that court. I don't care if he was, what was he, 3-for-17,
yep,
3-for-18,
yep,
whatever. He should have been on there. He's your best player. They were down by two. He gives you the best opportunity. You can't tell me Ruben Prey gives you a better opportunity.
I don't know, man. That baseline dunk was badass. I don't know. I tell you, from over the weekend, Derek Queen is the big on Maryland, a guy I've been eyeing over the last couple of days because he's, you know, projected potentially to be a lottery pick. And as you know, I have a vested interest in said lottery this season.
You need another big?
No, I'm just interested in talent. I don't think the Nets have to circle for a big or a point guard or a guy. They need talent, okay? You're good, I'll take you. But the story behind Derek Queen's game-winning shot for the University of Maryland is that another guy who I have a long history with, I don't like to use his name anymore, the former coach at Seton Hall, all right, fine, Coach Willard, goes into the huddle and says, who wants to take the shot?
Really?
And that's just his story.
This is confirmed.
This is what he said, unless you think Willard's a liar. Is that what you're saying?
Willard said this.
Coach Kevin Willard, yeah.
Okay.
You think he's a liar,
I don't know. I mean, it just sounds very...
He did leave Seton Hall in a lark, so yeah. You want to go with that?
Kind of leaves Seton Hall hyperbolic.
And Derek Queen said, give me the ball. Give me the bleeping ball. I think the phrase was mother bleeping ball. And then after Derek Queen traveled, he hit the game-winning shot.
Exactly.
I had to throw that in there. After a little bit of a tiny bit of a travel, he hit a game-winning shot. We'll come back with more of your calls.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.